The Money Show.
The Africa Business Report.
Africa Business Focus with Bruce Whitfield is brought to you by SAA, connecting Africa one flight at a time, now flying Perth, Australia. Welcome to this particular business feature that I like so much, looking at the world of business around the continent, chatting to Victor Khomieswana, the author of Africa Bounces Back and Marketing and Communication Executive Director at the University of Limpopo. Victor, how are you doing? Still trying to get a hold of Victor Khomieswana. They are covering some of the big stories that are coming through on the African continent when it comes to business. Who could forget the Zimbabwe gold currency that was launched last week, backed by gold, and it seems to be trading, at least so far, against the rand, far stronger against the rand. And somebody online today saying that we'll see how long that lasts. Speaking to Victor now, some of the stories that piqued your interest when it comes to business on the continent, Victor.
Good evening, Mutel. Good talk. Let's start with Nigeria. The stories since late 2022, Emirates has not been flying to Nigeria because of the shortage of hard currency. The business was impossible to, and no, inflation has gone to all time highs and 20-year high. Difficult, but most of all, the problem that Emirates was citing in discontinuing their operations to Nigeria. The one problem was their inability to repatriate about $80 billion or so dollars. You know, many airlines were struggling with this because the local suppliers couldn't raise the hard currency to pay them, and it was just impossible to fly. And although Emirates, as you know, is not in business entirely for profit, because they are more market in the United Arab Emirates and that part of the world, they were able to continue doing business. So President Tinubu, since he took over, according to the Minister of Aviation in Nigeria, has been able to resolve that standoff, and they saying that Emirates will be resuming flights to Nigeria in June, sometime in June, which is a major breakthrough, because Emirates, you know, they connect just about every part of the world to every other part of the world. So if they are not flying to your country, you are left out of the equation, and that's not what you want when you are Africa's largest economy.
Then looking at that very interesting story, I don't know if you've had a look at the new currency, let's put it that way, from Zimbabwe, and how that's likely to play out in that economy that's facing the high inflation and a tough economy, but trying to make sure that in terms of the currency, they can back it with the resources and other currencies.
Well, we are chuckling into our shirt pockets, Motel, but we shouldn't, because the history of currencies takes us back to the gold standard. It's not long ago that I remember the South African bank notes having the words, "I promise to pay the bearer on demand in Pretoria," whatever the amount on there. So there was a time in the past when every amount of currency, every rand or dollar of currency, was backed by gold reserves in the Treasury Department. And so what Zimbabwe is doing, because of the huge depreciation in the value of the Zimbabwean dollar and just the inability of that country to stabilize around one currency, they decided and they experimented with the Musiwa Thunya gold coins, I think last year or 2022. And that held because Zimbabwe has a lot of mineral resources. They said they have 2.5 tons of gold they are using to back the Zimbabwean gold coin. And now the advantage, the reason it's news today, because it was introduced last week, the reason it is news today is because from Monday, I think, the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange started denominating their trade in that Zimbabwean gold-backed currency, which means the people who are trading on the stock exchange now know they will not be subjected to the vagaries of the hyperinflation in Zimbabwe or the loss of value. Because imagine, Mutel, with a hyperinflation, what value would your stocks be in Zimbabwe? And Zimbabwe has very high-quality companies operating in that country. So to have the at least more stable currency being used by the stock exchange is a nod being given to this new move. People are ridiculing this, but maybe they'll eat humble pie very soon.
The the Zimbabwe government looking to, the central bank rather, looking to back that particular currency by $285 million. So no jokes here. They're really trying to change things around. Of course, we do know in the black market, the US dollar has been trumping the Zimbabwean dollar. So I guess a good move to try and make sure they have controls in the country.
Exactly. Because when you're in Zimbabwe, and I haven't been to Zimbabwe at least in the past 2-3 years, well, since COVID broke out, but what I know is when you're in Zimbabwe, you could meet somebody who's willing to take the South African rand. Another one is willing to take the Zimbabwean dollar. Another one is saying, I'll take the dollar, whatever you have. Even the euro, you know, they take all kinds of currencies. And if you just remember that as currency is the language of trade, you can't be too multilingual, if I may borrow that figure of speech, in your trade, because in the end you need some level of control. Although we want liberalization of the markets, you need to know how you're denominating your trades, how you're denominating your investments. People are putting money down for pension, they are banking, so you need some kind of uniformity. And because this one is backed by the tons of gold that the government says it has, it will be a lot more stable. Gold has always been known to be the good store of value that it is.
A safe haven, and probably, hopefully, a safe one for Zimbabwe, because a successful Zimbabwe is better for the region. Do you think Nigeria will go the same way in terms of their own currency? They've had some devaluing issues with their currency.
Nigeria is a different story, because the reasons for that are different. You know, it's the food inflation, non-food inflation that's been behind that. But also because Nigeria, I mean, if they were to do the same, they would have to go with the oil. But remember, Nigeria is not going crude oil now. It's going refinery, because of the refinery that Dangote just started pumping refined petroleum products a month ago. So maybe if they were to, they would be looking at what they have in abundance, which is crude oil, but they are not doing that. They are saying, we want to be the head of the financial markets. And just don't look there, don't blink on the Nigerian banks, Motheo. There are big banks happening out there. So their financial services is much, much, much bigger than any other country, if I may say, in Africa. If we go by the number of banks that are entering the top 1,000 banks in the world surveys.
And that's, of course, a very, very huge market, and one that Dangote is also trying to target through the refinery that you were talking about. Of course, Alingo Dangote's refinery set to deliver fuel in May, helping the country experience less costly gasoline imports. And this could work well for the economy as well, if they could have more of these.
And also export the ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States. So people, but the ECOWAS has even more three Nigeria banks. Now, what is not looking at the Nigerian market, but you're right, that's
All right, Victor, I think we should try and get you on a better line. They're having a bit of a disconnection issue. But while we do that, Nigeria's new mega refinery expected to deliver fuel, of course, in May. That's a conversation we're having now with Victor Khomiyesana, helping the country experience less costly gasoline imports. A refinery owned by Africa's wealthiest man, Aliko Dangote, is set to deliver around 650,000 barrels per day of that refinery. All Nigeria being one of the world's leading oil producing countries, but due to a lack of functional refineries, all its crude oil, or almost all its crude oil now, is exported for refinery. So Dangote trying to make sure that the country can build its own refineries and process some of these commodities that are key to Africa's development. Victor, I don't know if I have you still on the line.
It might be a better line. I've stopped even breathing just to be able to.
But things are looking better on the African continent. We have younger presidents out of Senegal.
We
have our own refineries. We're trying to back up our currencies. Are we on a good wave here?
Man, you know me. For the past 21 years, I've been preaching the same gospel of optimism. Africa bounces back whenever you put it through anything. I that 44-year-old president in Senegal, look out for that young man, Diomaye. They call him Diomaye, the honorable one. He is going to crack the whip, because he's a taxing specter who became president after being in present, and you're going to see waves there. But it's very important for Senegal, due to his location, to be able to stabilize, and he's been a long time coming. So I'm really impressed with what the Senegalese people decided to do, going against all expectations and voting to show that you can never be too complacent in Africa. And that's what we need. We need people like him. We need people like Abiy Ahmed in Ethiopia. We need people like the late John Magufuli in Tanzania. These are leaders that Africa need, the bold guys who are willing to make decisions that have to be made and go against the grain for the betterment of their people and the welfare of the continent.
And we definitely need more stability, especially in Central and Western Africa. New leaders, maybe new ideas, and maybe a new path for Africa. That was Victor Homiyeswana. They're covering the Africa Business Focus.